Thank you, Lord. It's the Word that changes us. Amen. Holy Spirit illuminates the Word. Thank you. I've just seen that like I never have before. It's not a man we're looking at. We know that, but it's the anointing on men and women. God anoints men and women, and what that means is He's giving them an endowment to do things, and we're all endowed to do different things. Right. We're not teaching on this morning, just a side thing. But we're all endowed to do certain things. So when you go to hear the Word preached, it's not just a man and it's not just reading Scripture. If that person is anointed by God to do that, it's God's endowment. When they start speaking, it's God working through them and you're listening to God. It's above our understanding of things. We're hearing the anointed Word of God and it will change us. And if we'll just come in reverencing that and respecting that, not look to the person, but look to God, man, we'll get what we need. It goes both ways, though. We're expecting. It's not just entertainment. We're so used to, well, I go to a movie theater, I flip on the TV, and I'm just there. Now, you say things to me. It's not that way. This is not a movie theater. This is two-way right now. We're together. The hearers have as much to do as the speaker. The speaker, but there's certain things you can't say if people aren't ready to receive and aren't drawing. So that's why, we're just joined together and we're expecting. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Let's turn over to Philippians 2:13. Thank God. Aren't you glad we have a Bible and we can turn to these scriptures and see what God has to say? Amen. We don't have to argue about certain things. Well, this person says this and Dr. So-and-so says this and, this guy, professor, says this. Well, that's all fine, but what does the Word of God say? That's the tiebreaker. That ought to be where we look. It is so easy to get to where we're following somebody or following some. Well, such and such said that. That won't cut it when you're out in the world or in life and you're facing the enemy or you're facing a circumstance. It doesn't matter who said what. It matters what God said. Isn't it good that we know that we have the Bible and we can look to His Word and we can settle all debate? Say, well, if He said it, then it's true. Thank God for ministers and preachers that illuminate what He has said. That's the point. We're illuminating what He has said, but we got to bring it back to the Word. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Philippians 2:13. It says, "For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure." For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. God is working in us both to will and to do for His good pleasure. Do you realize we're the body of Christ? He's the head, we're the body, and He's working in us to will and to do for His good pleasure. He has a plan and a purpose in this earth. Who's going to carry it out? We are. He's the head. We're the body. Did your head drive to work or drive to church this morning? No, it had a part to play. It told your hands and your feet and your arms what to do to operate that vehicle, but your head didn't get you here this morning. Your head orchestrated everything, but your body carried out those orders, right? Hallelujah. We are the body of Christ and He's willing and to do. He wills, what does it say, both to will, works in you both to will and do for His good pleasure. If we're yielded vessels to Him, He's getting His job done through us. Hallelujah. Thank God. And we have so much to be thankful for. Thursday's Thanksgiving. Mention a little bit about that. Man, if you think you don't have anything to be thankful for, you've missed it. If you're a Christian, you have a whole long list of things to be thankful for. Thank God. all that he has done, that he is working through us. We're going to go over some of those things. But I just felt, just to stir ourselves up along these lines, all that God has put in us, all that we do have, all that he has blessed us with. Thank you, Lord. Don't let this be too simple for you this morning. Praise God. Ephesians 1:1-6. Let's just read. Actually, don't turn there. Let's go on your scripture sheet. Ephesians 1:1-6. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. Amen. Thank you, Lord. What does verse 3 say? He who has blessed us. Who has blessed us? Is that future, present, or past? He has. He is. It's past tense. He has blessed us. Well, I just don't know what I have to be thankful. I just kind of feel like throwing a pity party right now. Has anybody ever been there besides me? We all come to that point where we're tempted. But tempted is being different than doing it. We're all tempted. And you can be tempted in any number of areas. You have certain thoughts, you have certain temptations, but unless you act on it, all that's called is living. You're going through life, you're going to be tempted to do different things. It's what you do with the temptation. So we could be tempted, and if you're here this morning and you just kind of been down and just you're just kind of on that border, this is for you and all of us. But if we're tempted to just kind of mope and everything, we need to know that God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Right there, I just don't know. We're tempted to start saying all the bad things or what we think are bad things in our life and start just going down this laundry list. And, you know, you just get further down and further down. At that point, what we ought to let come out of our mouth is, no, God has blessed me with every spiritual blessing. I don't care what it looks like. I have been blessed, but I don't feel like it right now. I mean, it doesn't matter what we feel like at this point. No, it's saying what God says about us in spite of what we feel or see. Amen. This is where the rubber meets the road. We can all say, oh, we're thankful. I'm thankful of this, thankful of that. And when everything's going well, but it's when it looks like I just feel like complaining. I feel like I don't have anything to be thankful for. And the more you magnify the things that aren't going right, the bigger they seem. That's right. But the more you magnify what God has said and everything you actually do have, the smaller and insignificant the other things seem. Amen? Let's just stir ourselves up this morning of what God has done. Hallelujah. And we sit down on Thursday, you know, whatever we do, if we have a traditional meal or whatever, man, we're giving glory and honor to him, just being thankful for all he has done. Yes, there's natural things. I mean, we are a prosperous nation still. We are, relative to most of the world, regardless of what you think, you know, the economy and everything is doing, we're still prosperous. We still have a lot to be thankful for. But spiritually speaking, oh, if we could see in light of eternity what's going on now and look at what we actually have in Jesus and get that perspective, none of this stuff would move us. I don't care what's going on. Because the worst case, I mean, you get through this life, even the worst case, if you didn't know anything about your rights and privileges in God, you just, you know, barely made it through life, didn't have a good life, and then you went on for eternity to be with Jesus. So you spent a blink of an eye doing in whatever condition you were in. I'm not saying it has to be like, I'm saying worst case, if you didn't take advantage of anything. You spent a minute going through that, and then forever, in eternity going with Jesus. That's what we have to look forward to. Worst case. Best case, we start taking advantage of what He has already given us here, and we can take our eyes off anything we think isn't good and look at what He has already said. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at those things. Yes. Who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you. Let's turn over to Revelation. Let's just get a couple more witnesses here before we get a little further. Notice that's at the beginning of a letter. Paul is saying, he's starting out, Ephesians is amazing, all the things it lays out. But he's just starting out, this is an introduction to his letter back in Ephesians, who has blessed us. He's just saying all the things that already are ours in Jesus Christ. So then John in Revelation, verse 4, chapter 1, verse 4, another introduction. Everybody there? It says, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from Him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before His throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, the ruler over the kings of the earth, to Him who loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood, and has made us kings and priest to His God and Father. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Boy, you just read those words, the weight of those words. We serve the living God. We sang about it this morning. But look at these things He has said about us. He said, verse 5, and then, to Him who loved us. Oh, thank God He loved us. You ever doubt that, well, nobody loves me? Think of Jesus. He gave His life. He was the very picture of love. Amen. If you ever want to know what love looks like, Jesus is our example. Look at how He operates. It'll answer a lot of questions, because Jesus didn't walk in love like a lot of people think love ought to be today. He wasn't mamby-pamby, oh, everything goes, oh, I love you. He wasn't like that. He was walking in love when He was telling the Pharisees, you brood of vipers, you whitewashed sepulchers. He was walking in love. I've said this before, but everything Jesus did was love. A lot of people wouldn't think that's love today. Somebody said once, you know, Jesus will probably be criticized for being abusive in today's society. Some of the things He said. Are you with me? Some of the things He said, it wasn't so nice, we think. But it was love. Now, in this society, you just ought to let everybody do whatever, just whatever goes, if it works for you. That is not love. If somebody's going to hell and they're going to destroy their life while they're here on earth, letting them do it is not love. Calling them out and saying, you better turn from that. Now, I'm not saying being dumb and going up to everybody. No, I'm by the Spirit of God. If somebody's in your life, if a loved one is not doing what they ought to do, saying, well, I just don't want to offend them, that's not love.
That's right.
You ought to be led by Spirit. I'm not saying we become everybody's master and everybody's dictator. Oh, you know, this is what the Word of God says. No, that usually doesn't work great if it's not led by the Spirit of God. But what I am saying is that we don't just shy back from doing certain things because, you know, I just don't want to offend anybody. It's not love. No, look at Jesus. If you look through the Gospels, He did a lot of things that people today would not call love. But it was love. He made a whip and drove people out of the synagogue there. Doesn't sound like love. Oh, you know, you got to be... No, He said, get out of here. Why? Because it's destroying the cult. It's destroying what God... It's not using, not reverencing God. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Lost my place here. Thank you, Lord. But it said He loved us, verse 5, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Washed us from our sins in his own blood. And has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. That's our God. That's who we serve. And he said, we're kings and we're priests. How can you be down and sad and, oh, I don't know if I have anything to be thankful for when we've been made kings and priests and we've been washed in the blood of the Lamb? Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Turn over to 2 Peter. This is supposed to be the introduction. We were supposed to go through this pretty quick. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Second Peter 1. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Your faith or lack thereof is going to follow what you focus on. Amen. What you focus on, if you're looking at the problem and looking at it, it's going to get bigger and bigger and bigger to where this is all you can see. But if you start looking at Jesus, you start looking at him and what he has said, when you get the perspective of a king and a priest, hey, a king and a priest, we have authority. We've been washed in the blood. It starts to make the problem cut down to size. I know we've heard that before, but we have to do it. We have to look at it. When the thing is in front of us like this, it doesn't do any good to say, well, I know what I'm supposed to do, but I don't want to do it. Well, it stays right there. That's where it stays. Until we say, but I have been made a king and priest in Jesus. And oh God, I don't care what it looks like right now. You have blessed me with every spiritual blessing. We take our eyes and put them over there. Now that thing starts diminishing. Now it starts looking small. Hallelujah. Verse 1, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained, like precious faith, or my margin of my Bible says received, who have received like precious faith with us by the righteousness of God, our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, we could just be talking to each other right now. Right? To those who have received or obtained like precious faith. That's us. Through what? With us by the righteousness of God our and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. Oh, man. Hallelujah. We could just stop at every one of these verses. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Grace and peace. Just peace into a situation. If things aren't looking the way they ought to look, we can just speak grace and peace into it. Be multiplied to you. Why? The knowledge of the problem. Knowledge of the circumstances. Knowledge of what the economists say. Knowledge of what the doctor says. No. No, grace and peace are multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. That's where it comes from. Verse 3, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Oh, that's loaded. We're going to have to read some of that again. Verse 3, as his divine power has given, again, past tense, it's has given. His divine power has given to us all things. All things that pertain to life and godliness. He has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. You may be saying, well, why don't I see it? Hallelujah. Because we have to act on the knowledge that He has given these things to us. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. He has made us kings and priests. Amen. Hallelujah. We act on that knowledge. We act on what He said. He has given these things to us. Right. Hallelujah. As His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through what? The knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature. Of the divine nature. Of the divine nature. Hallelujah. Do we have a divine nature because Christ is dwelling within us. Hallelujah. We're going to read a few scriptures in a moment. You say, how does that all work? I don't know how it all works. I don't need to know how it works. I don't know how most of my car works, but I drove here. I don't need to know. I know some things about computers. You know, took a few classes, but you know, there's a lot of things I don't know. You know, once we hit the place where we got into theory of relativity and quantum physics, I took that class. Man, I got a decent grade in it, but to this day, I don't understand most of it. It's kind of like, yeah, I don't know how the electrons and everything move around. But man, I fire up my computer and the thing works. I can go and do my job and do other stuff at a level up here. I don't have to worry about what the electrons are doing. Amen? So don't get all hung up. Boy, I don't understand how this works. I don't understand. If I could just understand, then it would work. Not necessarily. Don't worry about it. If God said it, then act on it. Let Him. He's the one. He's the one that took care of how it works. How was the sin of all mankind put on Jesus Christ? How did He Himself bear my sicknesses on the cross and all of us and for the whole world? How did that happen? I don't know. The Word of God says it, so we're supposed to be like little children and say, okay, you said it. All right. I don't need my 3-year-old or my 5-year-old to ask me certain questions about how to. Now they will, you know, that they're kids. They're going to say, well, how is this? But if they were in an attitude of, well, I want to know before I believe you, or before, you know, we act on this, I don't know if I'm going to get in that car unless I know how it works. That's a little different thing. It's like, yeah, just trust me. Because Daddy said so. Because Mommy said so. That's not a bad thing to say in this day and age. Everybody wants to reason everything out. Well, if you got to explain it to your kids. No, you don't. Not everything. I'm not saying you just be an authoritarian, but you know what? God will tell you something and He doesn't act your opinion about it. And sometimes you got to know that you're just going to obey. Let Him worry about all the details. Hallelujah. Verse 4, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Notice we've escaped the corruption that's in the world. When you see corruption in the world and you see things going down and you say, well, I don't know, this looks pretty bad, just take note that you've escaped the corruption in the world through Jesus. We've been made kings and priests, and we're in His kingdom. So He'll take care of us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Look on your scripture sheet there. James 1. I won't take the time to turn there. James 1:16 says, do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Every good and perfect gift comes down from above. What are we saying? Sometimes it's tempting to get off and say, well, God, I don't know what you're doing here. I don't know why this looks like that. If you've done all these things, why does it look a certain way? Just don't ever be deceived and go over and start thinking God had anything to do with it, or God's See, a lot of us will say, well, I know God's not the author. But what we're kind of tempted to think, even though we may not articulate it, is, you know, God isn't doing everything he can to help me. He let this happen. Something's happening, and it shouldn't be this way. And though we maybe don't verbalize it, what we're saying is, God, you're unjust. Every good and perfect gift doesn't come down from you. Where are you? But no, every good and perfect gift. Do not be deceived, my brethren. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. Every good and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. He's not different on different days. He is good all the time. All the time. So sometimes we just need to put our understanding on the shelf. Amen? Help me here. We sometimes we need to just put what we can see and feel. Well, God, I don't understand what this why this is happening. I think this ought to happen. Sometimes right there, we just need to put it on the shelf and say, God, you're still good. God, you're still the God of all creation. I believe that you're faithful. I believe that you're true. I believe that every good and perfect gift comes down from you. And Lord, I can't understand this. Maybe I don't have the perspective to see what's going on, but I'm staying on your side. Because when we start questioning and get to the place where we don't know, so we're starting to question, well, God, I know your word says this, and I know your word says this, so this should happen, and I don't understand what's going on. What we've just done is we're questioning the Almighty, saying, I have the scope, the experience, the background, the knowledge to question you. God, what's going on here? You know, Job's friends did that. And at the end, God answered and said, where were you when I created this world? Were you there? Were you watching it? And he went down the list. Where were you? Do you understand this? Do you understand how this is happening? Do you understand this? And the answer was, no, 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 wasn't there. No, no, don't know how that worked. No, I don't. Yeah, you're right. I don't know that either. No, no. Nope, wasn't there. Nope, wasn't. Oh, yep, nope, not there either. God himself, we don't have the perspective to question him. That's of the enemy. Hallelujah. Getting off a little bit here, but I think we're doing something here. Back in Genesis, what did it was pretty clear, right? Do not eat of a certain fruit, right? What did the devil come and ask Eve? Did God really say that? Now, how clear could you be? Did God really? Now, this is what God is really doing in this situation. Let me fill you in. He doesn't want you, because he knows, he told you that, but if you touch it and eat of it, things are going to happen. He doesn't want you to know certain things. So he is holding back from you, see? Yeah. See, that's the devil. That he hasn't changed today. So what does he come to us and say? Well, I know this is supposed to work, but man, where is he in your situation? What's going on? I mean, you know the word. You've been faithful. Why isn't it happening? You ever thought about that? What's he doing? He's impugning the character of God. And you start siding in with this, what are you doing? You're playing judge to God Almighty. I'm telling you, I don't care how smart you are, none of us in this room have anywhere near the position, knowledge, intelligence to question him.
That's true.
Are you with me?
Yes.
So when we hear those things come through our head, we ought to say, oh, that's the devil. Yeah. Oh, that's not God. I'm not going to side in with that. I'm going to stay on his side. And we go back to what we've read. Every good and every perfect gift comes from him. He's made me a king and a priest. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father lights. That's my Father. I may not see everything. I may not understand everything. But one thing I know is that He's faithful. He's good. He's true. He's on my side. He shed His blood. He showed He loved me. And He will work this thing out. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Let's go over to Philemon. Hallelujah. Right before Hebrews. You might miss it if you're flipping multiple pages at once, so it only takes up a page. There's no chapters in Philemon. Thank you, Lord. Verse 6. Now let's go back to verse 4. Kind of in the middle of a sentence. It says, I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith with which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all His saints, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you or in us, in Christ Jesus. Let's read that again. That the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you, in Christ Jesus. Amen? Let's read this in the Amplified on your scripture sheet. And I pray that the participation in and sharing of your faith may produce and promote full recognition and appreciation and understanding and precise knowledge of every good thing that is ours in our identification with Christ Jesus and unto His glory. Let's read that again. That's a mouthful. And I pray that the participation in and sharing of your faith may produce and promote full recognition and appreciation and understanding and precise knowledge of what? Of every good thing that is going to be ours in heaven. No, that is ours in our identification with Christ Jesus. We're identified with Him. See, it doesn't matter who our natural parents were. It doesn't matter, how much money we were born into. It doesn't matter the color of our skin. It doesn't matter where they're from. Our victory in all these things we're talking about come from our identification with Christ, with Jesus. So when we're under certain circumstances, we start looking at these natural things, we're looking at the wrong thing. It's not that we ignore the natural. It's that our eyes and our focus and our perspective needs to be with the fact that we are in Christ, the King, that we're identified with Him. What does it mean to identify with somebody? You see, teenagers are great with this. What do? They want to be identified with the right crowd, with the right group. And we've all been there. We've all been through that. Well, what is that? Well, how do they go about doing that? Well, they wear certain shirts. They do certain clothes. I'm this type. Or, I'm a jock. Or I'm a prep. That's what they used to say when I was growing up. Prep or jock or whatever. I remember, I won't say that. But there's always certain clothes that are in style at certain times. And you want to look like you're one of these people. What are you doing? When kids are doing that, youth are doing, what are they doing? They're trying to identify with a group, saying, well, I'm like these people, so you should think about me the way you think about these people because I'm cool like them. See, they're not looking at themselves and being confident in who they are. They're looking at somebody else and saying, I'm like them, so you should think I'm like them and I'm cool like them. See, because I look like them. I have the same haircut and I have the same clothes. So don't I look cool? Don't you like me now? Well, that can be a bad thing. But when we're talking about identifying with Christ, we don't look at ourselves. It's the same thing, only in reverse. Don't look at what you are. Don't look at what you have. Don't look at your background. We're looking at what he has. And then we're saying, look, it's not me, it's what he has. I may not feel like this, I may not certain things, but he said he's the king. And he said I'm a joint heir with him. And he said he's blessed me. And he said he died for me and made me a king and a priest. So I'm going to identify with him and say what he says about me regardless of what it looks like. Because I'm with him. I'm with Jesus. Well, you don't think much of me, but I'm with him. So I don't really care what you think, you know. I'm with him. And I'm going to say what he says. And then when I speak his words, I'm going to get his results because he's the one that's backing it up. Amen? Because he has died for us and he has identified with us so that we could identify with him. Now go back, I think we can go to a couple of these scriptures. Let's turn over to Colossians 1. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Colossians 1, verse 24. Says, now I rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Verse 27, to them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in us. Now, I think sometimes some of us have heard that so many times, man, we glaze over it. We just like, oh, yeah, Christ is in me. No, but the king, this one we're talking about, that one we are reading about in Revelation, who was and is to come, the Almighty, the one that they're bowing down, worshiping right now, he is in us. He's in us. When we read the Bible has blessed us with all spiritual blessings, and he's done. He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. How has he done it? Because we're identified with him. He has all things that pertain to life and godliness. He has every spiritual blessing, and we've been identified with him. Why? Because he identified with us. He became a man. He laid down his glory. He came to the earth. He shed his blood. Why? Because he was identifying as a man with you and me. And so he identified with us so that we could identify with him and say, now because of what he did and his identification with mankind, I receive what he's done, and now I can identify with his authority, with his power, with his ability. So there is never a time when we look and say, well, I just don't have anything in this situation. I just don't know what I'm going to do. Would Jesus know what to do? Would Jesus be without authority? Would Jesus be helpless? No. But He's in us. He's the hope of glory. And what does Paul say then, just a little bit further there? Verse 28, he said, Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, that we may present every man mature in Christ Jesus. Why? When you start to realize that you're identified with Him, that regardless of what it looks like, you're still saying, yeah, but He said He hasn't gone anywhere. He's inside me. I'm identifying with Him. I'm identifying as the victor in this situation because Christ is in me and He's always a victor. I'm going to do what He would do and say what He would say because I identify with Him. Just like we were talking about the youth. Do you know how catchphrases get around? Boy, that pretty soon somebody thinks something's cool to say and everything, everybody's saying that. Pretty soon, man, you get tired of hearing all these things over and over. And we did it to our parents too, I'm sure. You know, saying the same phrases and we think we're cool when we say it because that's the way you say it. Well, with Jesus, we ought to say what He says. When He tells us what to say, when He tells us what's true, then we ought to say, God, I'm going to say what You said. I don't care what it looks like. I'm going to say Your words. I don't care if I'm around this crowd. I'm going to say Your words. I'm going to say what You said. Thank You, Lord. Look on your scripture sheet there. A little bit further down in Colossians, it says, beware, in Colossians 2, verse 8, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in Him dwells all the fullness of Godhead bodily, and you are complete in Him, who is the head of all principality and power. Amen. Don't let anybody cheat you. Don't let anybody, the enemy, or anybody that's speaking the enemy's words, tell you that you aren't identified with Him, that you're not complete in Him, that He's not going to come through for you, that He's not going to do what He said He would do. Don't be cheated. Don't be swindled. Don't be conned. We are complete in Him. Thank You, Lord. Thank God. Right there, you can read on your sheet, Romans 8, 16 says, The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. If we're children, then we're heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs of Christ. Hallelujah. Let's turn over to Philippians 4. We're getting ready to close, but we have a few more things. Philippians 4. Philippians 4, verse 8. This is familiar. Especially the preceding verses, but I want to focus on verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is anything, any virtue, or if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Yes. Here again, many of us may have heard this, but the more I go, the more I see there's a difference between hearing something and actually getting it into your heart and into your consciousness where it actually changes your perspective. How does that happen? When you meditate, when you think on things, what is he saying? Finally, brethren, whatever things are true. He finally says to meditate on this list. But what's he saying to meditate on? What does meditate mean? It means to think on, to mutter, to go over and over. You don't just go through your scriptures. If it's healing, you don't just go through blah, 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 blah. You know, you have 100 of them and you're just going through them. Well, I just don't know why this isn't changing me. Try this. Stop and take one and see how it actually is working in your life. Visualize it. If it's something about Jesus, look through it and start looking at him doing what he was doing. Meditate on it. Stop, slow down, and let it start building new brain patterns in your brain. You know, ruts. Sometimes we have these ruts that we just keep going over, and then we read it, and we think, oh yeah, that means this. But it's not impacting how we think in everyday life. Take the time to meditate on what? On the things that are true, on these things that we're saying. Meditate on the fact that I'm identified with Christ. So when things come, I'm identifying with him. I'm identifying with what he said. So when these temptations come to say or do or to look at the wrong thing, we say, no, I'm identified with him, and it's not just something I heard. I see myself that way. I see myself as a king or priest. I see that that's reality. So when something comes up, I'm identifying saying, I look at it as if I am a king or a priest and say, wait a minute, you don't have any right here. God's coming through. The other way, if we haven't meditated, if we're not looking, we start identifying with what the problem is and we say, well, I just don't know how I'm going to overcome this. Why? Because we're identifying with our old self, with our ability. But if we'll look to him and start identifying and start meditating on those things that are true, identify with the fact that he has given me all things that pertain to life and godliness, that he has blessed me with every spiritual blessing, that every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father, my Father. Amen. Not just the God. That's my God. That's my Father. This is my big brother. I'm a joint heir. And so when I start, those things start coming out of my mouth, my identification, my mindset changes because I'm building that into me. I'm changing the way I think. I'm changing the way I behave. Let's turn over to Romans 8:28 and we'll close there. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, we are not talking about flexing our moral muscle and saying, no, now I have to do this to get it to work. No, we're saying we are looking at what he has done. And if we'll just get that built in, just look at, meditate on it. Why? So you can check off a list? No. So that we're looking at what is true, what is real. So that it actually impacts the next time I go out and actually are in the world, that I've been impacted because I'm looking at the right thing. Because I've looked at what he has said about the situation. It's changing my thinking. I'm letting what he has said be actually real in my life. In Romans 8:28, it says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God. Do you love God? Yes. We have his spirit on the inside of us. Just a few verses before here, just look, this is on your sheet, but look at verse 16. This was on our scripture sheet. We just read it. So this that we're reading in verse 28 is following these verses. Verse 16, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, and heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we also may be glorified together. But we're joint heirs with him. Now, a few verses later, he's saying, and we know all things work together for good to those who love God. Well, how could they not? If we're heirs of God Almighty and joint heirs with Christ, and we know who that's true, and we walk around with that revelation, how could these things not work together for good? And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. Now, we could read verse 28 and say, oh, yeah, yeah, all things work together for good of those who love him. Why isn't it happening? But when we started to look and meditate on these things, we start saying, that's the way it is. In spite of these other circumstances, we can stand up and say, no, all things are working together for good. I qualify. I'm in the body. I am a joint heir with Christ. He is my Father. And it becomes not something that we heard. This is the way it ought to be. Why isn't it working? It becomes, this is the way it will be. It can be no other way because God said it and I believe it and I'm identified with Christ and Christ is not going down. He's going up. He's in me. He's in this situation with me, and he can only see victory. I'm his brother or sister. God's my Father. We can't lose. And we look at what the Word says and come back to the Word and say, no, he has blessed me. No, he has given me. No, he has done. No, he's made me a king and priest. And we get that to where that's so big in us that we walk around different. Because we believe it. Because we walk around expecting things to line up like they would for a king. Because Jesus, because of his identification with us, we can become identified with him. Changes the way we look at things. We expect things differently. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God.